seated, the scripture tells us he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And so the only way Jesus can be alive in me is by a work of the Spirit. Amen? Yeah. So that's what we want to stuff here underneath this tablecloth. We'll take a look at that here in a little while. But before we do, I want to kind of give some introductory remarks. Boy, you guys look good today. I see some home folks, and I see some folks that are starting to become home folks. You've been here enough now that you can't be considered a guest anymore. And then I see some guests that are with us today. And boy, we're always glad to have those. Amen? Amen. Well, just for the benefit of those who may not know, we are several weeks into a series that we are calling We Believe. We Believe. There it is. We Believe. And what we're doing is we are proving that it is possible to teach and preach systematic theology in a way that is not boring. That's really what we're doing. Because we are systematically going through the doctrinal statements of our fellowship, and we're making sure that we nail down some things in our own hearts. Amen? For some of us, it serves as a good reminder. For some of us, it's like, wow, that's really cool. I didn't realize all of that. But way back in week number one, we talked about the inerrancy and the authority, the inspiration of the Scripture. You see, that actually is foundational to everything that would follow. Because if we don't get this one right, if we don't understand that this Scripture that we hold is God-breathed, and because it's God-breathed and not man-centered or man-created, then it's authoritative and it has every right and full authority to speak into every area of our lives. There's not one single thing, not one single circumstance that this Scripture does not apply to. Some things it applies very specifically, and then other things it applies in principle and with general guidance. But the Scripture is authoritative in our lives, and because it's authoritative, we can trust what it has to say about God. And that's what we talked about in week number two. We talked about the one true God, that He's eternally existent as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons and personalities, but yet one purpose. One purpose. And then we, on the third week, we looked more closely at that second person of the Godhead, the person of Jesus Christ. And we talked about how through His prophetic birth and His sinless life and His amazing miracles and His sacrificial death and His amazing victorious resurrection from the grave and His ongoing work of intercession on our behalf. We talked about, because of all of that, He is unique and stands alone in all of human history and in all of spiritual significance. He stands alone as the one and only Savior. Either He's what He says He is, or He's a complete lunatic. And every single thing in His life points to the fact that He is exactly who He says He is, an exact fulfillment of every prophecy ever uttered on His behalf. And so He stands alone, not to be compared to any other. Amen? And after we established that, then we talked about the reason that's important is because one of the things that this unique standalone Jesus would accomplish was a work of salvation. And why was that important? It's important because though mankind was created in perfection, yet given a free will, and through that exercise of free will, sinned and failed. And therefore, every single person that was born thereafter was born into a sinless state. Remember, we talked about the fact that you don't have to teach children to be disobedient. You don't have to teach them to lie. It's born into them. We're all born into it. You can't escape it. The Scripture says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's perfect standard. That's what it says. Every one of us. And the saddest part about all of that is that there's not one single thing that you can do about it. You can't live good enough. You can't read your Bible enough. You can't go to church enough. There's nothing you could ever do to move the needle in your favor. It's forever stuck on depraved. That's the bad news. Thankfully, we didn't park it there. We parked for a couple of weeks because we had that snow come, but we didn't stay there too long. We immediately figured out that the bad news, highlights and shines a huge spotlight on the good news. And the good news that we covered several weeks ago is that Jesus, one of those things that Christ accomplished on our behalf, was a finished, complete work. And by simply placing our trust and our confidence in what He did, all right, that's when remember we talked about all those different words. We talked about redemption and salvation and justification. Remember all of those amazing things. He accomplished that for us. And so thankfully, that bad news is overwhelmed with the good news of the saving work of Jesus Christ. And that when we simply put our trust and our faith in Him, the Bible says if we will confess and believe, amen. And so we thank God for that good news. And then last week we talked about that God has given to us, embedded in our spiritual worship practices. He's embedded in who we are and in what we do, two very tangible, hands-on evidences and reminders of what Christ accomplished for us in salvation. We said one of those was water baptism. We reminded ourselves that water baptism doesn't save us. It's simply an outward way that we testify about what God has done internally. And then we also spoke about communion. And we talked about how that was a looking back at what Christ accomplished. And it is a looking internally at the work of God that's happening in us now. And the Scripture says it's something that we do in not only in remembrance, but we do it in celebration of what is to come. And so even in that one single act, it's a tangible reminder of the work of salvation, but it's also just an encapsulation. It's a God who was and is to come. It's the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then we enjoyed communion together. So right on the heels of all of that, this actually is the next one in line, week number 7, or study number 7, if you will. We want to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So let's pull that one up. We believe, here it is, you ready? We believe that all believers are entitled to and should ardently expect and earnestly seek the promise of the Father, the baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire, according to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was the normal experience of all in the early Christian church. When it comes to the endowment of power for life and service, the bestowment of the gifts and their use in the work of ministry. Amen? Amen. Now, up until this point, whether we're talking about Scripture or the Trinity, or up until this point, there's been a lot of commonality between where we stand and the biblical truths that we hold to, and where some of our non-Pentecostal evangelical brothers, and we don't hesitate in that at all, to say brothers and sisters. But this becomes a little bit of an area of deviation and divergence. And it's not anything that's ever intended to divide. But this is one of the doctrines that is distinctive. And it distinguishes not only our fellowship, but other what we would call full gospel or Pentecostal fellowships. And this becomes a distinguishing or a defining, one of those defining doctrines. We firmly believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, this is it's kind of an interesting topic. I think it's really important before we look at this one today, and before we develop it a little bit more next week, actually, because next week we're going to be talking about tongues. Next week. See, this is the beauty of a series. I'm just doing it. No, and nobody can accuse me of picking on them or nothing like that. It's just what's next in line. But I think it's really, really important that we establish some things in our mind before we continue today and before we get into next week. Because, you know, some of these things are just so unfamiliar to so many of us. Whether we're coming from a different fellowship or a different faith practice, or whether we were born and raised in this particular church or in this particular fellowship, but it just doesn't feel comfortable for it. You know, there's some things that I really think that we probably should seal in our own minds. How many of you know that God is a good Father? I mean, you need to nail that down. You need to understand your Heavenly Father is good. Let that sink in. Your heavenly Father is good. I'm just gonna let that soak in. You know how sometimes you pour that water on that plant and it just sits there on top for a while, and then all of a sudden it just goes, that's what I'm wanting to have. I want that to sink in. Your heavenly Father is good, and he loves you. And he has nothing but good plans and good intentions on your behalf. And because it's only good on your behalf, that means he's never going to cause or even allow anything that is for your destruction. Now, sometimes some things will come into our life that we don't understand, but it is never intended for your destruction and never intended for your harm. And why are you hitting on that? It's important that we establish that before we talk about this next one, because some folks get scared. Scared of the unknown and intimidated by something that, sadly, some folk are taught that this is of the devil. I'm not kidding. And you know, I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm letting you know that some folk in the kingdom of God, it becomes such a point of deviation for some folks that they'll tell you, oh, that's the devil. You don't want to fall under that influence of the devil. I'm going right back to the fact that I hope we established just a few moments ago that your Father loves you and that he is good. And the scripture tells us, if you ask your earthly father, who is never perfect, if you ask your earthly father for a piece of bread, would your imperfect earthly father give you a stone instead? No. Well, what if you ask your earthly father for a fish? Would your imperfect, inconsistent earthly father intentionally give you a snake instead of a fish? No. And then the scripture goes on to say, well, if your earthly father, who is not perfect, and sometimes you can't be so sure of his motives, let's just be honest. If your earthly father loves you so much not to give you a stone instead of a bread and not to give you a snake instead of a fish, how much more? Come on, how much more shall your heavenly Father, who is perfect and who never has his motives questioned and who always has my best interest in mind, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Well, I'm just afraid of that. Well, you don't. Let's go back and re-examine the trustworthiness of a father who loves you unconditionally and who has nothing but good plans for you. Listen, if this is not God's will, he's not going to allow you to be harmed by it. But if it is his will, I say we pursue it with all of our heart. Lord, I don't know what it all looks like. I don't know whether, I just don't know. I don't understand it all. But what I do understand is I love you so much and I want you to have every part of me and I want me to have every part of you. Whatever that looks like, I'm all for it. And then just let God do what he wants to do. Is that okay? But as far as we are concerned, as a fellowship, this is our official statement. We believe in the ongoing activity, what we call the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Let's look at a few scriptures, shall we? Luke chapter 24, verse 49. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Speaking to that handful of disciples there. Right before his ascension, I'm going to send to you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Amen. All right, let's look again. Next one. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Amen. 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 Well, you know, I thought I was already saved. Well, let's look at the next slide, shall we? We believe that this experience is distinct from and subsequent to the experience of the new birth. So then we're not talking about salvation here. This is a distinct and separate working of the Spirit in our life. Let's look at the scriptures on that one, shall we? Acts chapter 8, verses 14 to 17 says this: when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers. The new believers, they were already believers. They prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So a separate, distinct event happening, working, subsequent to the work of salvation. And I think we have one more on that one, don't we? No, we don't. But let's look at the next slide anyway. So, shedding a little bit more light, we believe the baptism in the Holy Spirit. With the baptism in the Holy Spirit comes such experiences as, number one, an overflowing fullness of the Spirit. Number two, a deepened reverence for God. Boy, don't these sound like great prayers to pray? Look at that again. Let's not get so quick and in a hurry that we... With the baptism in the Holy Spirit comes such experiences as an overflowing fullness of the Spirit. Wow. We believe that accompanying is a deepened reverence for God, an intensified consecration to God and dedication to His work, and a more active love for Christ and for His word and for the lost. Wow. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's look at some scriptures on that, shall we? I'm gonna get to this in a minute. You guys hang on. Be patient. Anybody have any idea what's under here? Did anybody peek? You peeked? Ah, see, shame on you, you peeked. No, that's okay. All right, we're going to get to this in a minute, but we're going to lay some foundation of Scripture first, all right? Let's look at this. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So we're not talking, those who had already believed, there was a subsequent coming and working and activity of the Spirit in their life that was to come. And it would be something that would cause an overflow in their life. Keep that in your mind. We're going to kind of hit on that one in a little bit. Let's go to the next one, Jake. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And the reason I put that one up there is because of that word awe. You know, there's just something, when God does a genuine work among us, there's just something that makes you just want to go, "Oh, that was awesome." It creates an awareness. Let us become more aware of your prayer. It creates an awareness that where it, you don't just kind of casually stroll in, but it's an awesome. You are awesome in this place. You remember that one? Mighty God. Yeah, see, it creates a sense of awe in us where we just stand with mouth open and say, "Only God. Only God. Only God." See, and it's that increasing awareness. Let's go to the next one, Jake. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word with the signs that accompanied it. Now, I know there are some within our family that would say, "Oh, the Lord doesn't work in that way anymore." Well, I'm not so sure. Because it seems to me, why do you think those early apostles were used of God in gifts of deliverance? Why do you think that was necessary? It's okay, you can speak. Because people needed to be delivered, yeah. Well, why do you think that the Holy Spirit used those early apostles to see people healed? Someone on this side? Because people needed to be healed, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Why do you think that those early apostles were given divinely inspired words of wisdom to communicate? Because somebody needed wisdom. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You get where I'm going? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, how many of you know people still need to be delivered today? How many of you know that people still need to be healed today? How many of you know there's still times where we just need God to give us a clear word of direction and wisdom? You draw that out as long as you will you? And so, you know, I just happen to know and happen to believe, not only from the scripture, but even experientially in my own life, that the working of the Spirit is still a vital, vital, vital part of accomplishing the will and purpose of the Father on the earth. I just happen to know that. Now, how that always looks and how that always manifests itself, you know, sometimes those are the kinds of things that we can debate and discuss. But man, if as long as we have a need, let's just be honest. As long as we have a need, God has a provision. And it's by His Spirit that His provision comes to pass. Yeah, so, I struggle sometimes. I mean, you know that this is not a study on the gifts of the Spirit, but just bear with me for a minute. There's this one passage in Ephesians chapter 4 where it talks about that a part of the gifting that Christ has given to His church by a working of the Spirit is the calling forth of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Right? And this is not a study on the gifts of the Spirit, but it kind of dovetails into that. We, as a fellowship, we firmly believe in still that fivefold ministry operation. That there's an apostolic work that needs to be taking place in the body of Christ. That there's a prophetic function and a prophetic ministry that needs to be occurring. And don't get scared of that either. You know, we're not talking about people who walk around in camel's hair. We're just talking about people who have the ability to discern and speak forth a thus says the Lord kind of message. And then the evangelistic, obviously, the always outreaching, bringing folks in. And then the pastoral, that discipleship side of that. And then, of course, the teacher. We believe in that. But some folks would say, no. There's no more need for the apostle and there's no more need for the prophet. But somehow, they still recognize the need for the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And I don't understand that. If Jesus made a determination a long time ago that in order for His body to be fully equipped and prepared, that it was going to take a fivefold effort of leadership to equip and prepare God's people, how is it that all of a sudden we can decide that this part of the equipping ministry and gifting of to the body is no longer needed? I just don't see that. And so you can make that same application to other things. We still believe. I'm trying to be as respectful as I can here, but this is just something that I scratch my head about and I wrestle with, and I need maybe you to help me wrestle with it as well. I don't understand how we can look and see folk that are sick and say, yes, Jesus used to heal, but He doesn't heal anymore. I don't get that. I don't get it. Yes, there were some people back then who needed direction for their life, and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, used to give them direction and wisdom, but He doesn't do that anymore. I just don't get that. You see, it's the need of it's the needy cry of the human heart that calls forth the manifestation of God's Spirit. And so I just firmly believe that because He's the same, you see, He's the same. He's the same. He's the same. And so if He's ever healed, He heals. And if He's ever delivered, He delivers. And if He's ever saved, He saves. And if He's ever given wisdom, he gives wisdom. You get that. And so this is why we can boldly proclaim this. Do we have all of the answers? Do we understand how it squirts out on every situation? No, 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 we don't get all of that. That's what happens when you try to systematize and put a God who won't be contained into a containing unit. He will squirt out in directions you have no idea where he's going. And so we don't always get that, but what we can do is come to some basic conclusions. That it was God's will that when the ministry of evangelism went forth, that God was going to work with those and confirm their word with signs following. Wow, okay then, let's go to the next one. We want to talk about now some of the aspects of the Holy Spirit's work in the life of the believer. You guys good with that? Now what I want to do here is, so we got all of these ideas, you know, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we believe it's a work that is subsequent to salvation, we believe that it is distinct and separate from that, but I'm a little bit confused because I thought when we got saved that we received the Holy Spirit in our life. Yes, we did. We absolutely did. And then there's also those passages of Scripture that talks about, be ye filled with the Spirit. But now, wait a minute, I thought I had already received God's Spirit when I invited Jesus to do a work in my life. Well, yeah, you did, but so there must be something a little bit different and distinct about that. And then there's this idea of Spirit baptism. And so I want us to take a look at the several different aspects or several different ways and methodologies of how and just in what ways the Holy Spirit can work among us. Now, I want to lay down a little bit of groundwork here. I don't intend in any way to try to establish a new doctrine. But by calling, I'm a bit of a teacher. And so I want to maybe bring some instruction and help us to understand. Now, again, I'm not trying to create any new doctrine. And I'm certainly not trying to mess up anything that's already in your own mind. I'm just maybe going to pull back this cloth here in just a minute and try to, as best I can, help us to understand what are some of the different ways and different aspects of the Holy Spirit's working in my life. Is that okay? Now, even though these will be presented in three distinct areas, sometimes it's not as clean cut as that. Sometimes it's all meshed in there together, and you say, well, now what was that? Was that it's just the Holy Spirit working among us. So again, don't think of what we're about to see in terms of step one, step two, step three. Think of it in terms of these are ways that the Holy Spirit is working in my life at any given moment. And I might not be able to put a label on this one and say, well, this is what this is and that's what that is. I just want to know that God's working in me in a lot of different ways. And this is how some of that might be illustrated. As with any human illustration, this one's going to have all kinds of flaws and inaccuracies, but I hope that you'll get the point. Are you guys ready? All right, let's see. What do we got? Oh, yeah, still good. All right, here we go. All right. Okay, let's put this over here. All right. You guys ready? So we want to talk about an indwelling. This is the saving work of the Spirit. You know, every one of us was created with the capacity, to be a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. But as we already discussed, mankind is fallen. And that capacity is unfulfilled because in our fallen state, we have no ability to communicate with a holy God. And then the finished work of Christ comes along. And we say, Lord, I recognize that I am empty. I recognize that by myself and of myself, I am utterly depraved and have nothing to offer. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling, and I understand that as long as I am on my own and apart from you, I shall never be able to have that fellowship with the Father that you intended. I understand that my vessel is empty and barren. And so, Lord, based on that, Holy Spirit, I invite you to come into my life. Jesus, I want you to do a work in me. And that potential begins to take on newness. And at that moment, see, you can't tell it from where you are, but I can't get another drop in there. It's as full as it's going to get. And so at the moment of salvation, it's not that you have part of the Holy Spirit. He is. You're saved. You're right there. It is a completed work. Amen? But then I read somewhere that after, that there was something that was to take place in their lives after they had believed. Because this is awesome, and as amazing and wonderful as that is, that it just seems to be a fullness. But if I'm not careful, it could become a stagnation. You see, as long as that sits there without some kind of additional input, it grows more and more stale and more stagnant. And see, here's the interesting thing. Because the Scripture says that we are all jars of clay, vessels of clay. How many of you know that clay is prone to leaks and cracks? And so we're all cracked pots. And the thing about cracked pots is we leak. And even if we don't leak, all you got to do is bump into us. Just rub me the wrong way. Again, this is where some of the shortcomings of this analogy come into play. But just bear with me. I think you get the idea. And so, what do we need? We need, you know, the Scripture says that there's something that is, this is great and this is awesome and this is the beginning of God's plan for us. But you know, the Scripture tells us that His plan for us is to be formed into the image of Christ. And so then we have got to recognize that there's also a, next one, Jay, an infilling work. And we could talk about, this is where it's more than just being saved. How many of you want to be just saved and just barely go to heaven by the skin of your teeth? Oh, God, help us. Because the Scripture says that He has come to give us life, a saving work, and life more abundantly, a filling work. And so, this is where we understand that the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so I've not just got the Spirit of God in me. That's the saving work, and I'm going to heaven right there. But because I'm inclined to leak, Scripture says, don't get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Now, unless there's something about those two analogies that is common, then one has nothing to do with the other. Then why use them in the same sentence? Well, the common issue there is control. You drink enough wine and you lose control, and the wine takes over. You don't see straight, you can't drive good, your speech gets slurred. So in other words, don't allow, and don't, by the way, don't get hung up on wine. That just happens to be what was said. It could be any outside controlling influence. Don't allow yourself to be so flooded with other things that they control your thinking and your speaking and your ability to act on the things of God as He's working in your life. Instead of all of that, instead of allowing some outside influence to control you, be filled with the Spirit. Whoa. So now all of a sudden, it's not just about being saved. It's about being controlled. Out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. Whoa. As a matter of fact, if you translate that passage, that Ephesians passage that says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, it literally reads this way. If you understand it in the original Greek, it reads this way. Don't allow yourself to be controlled by wine, to be drunken with wine to where you're controlled by that issue. Instead, be ye in a constant state of being filled with the Spirit. Now, this is an ongoing work. This one right here, this salvation work, that's a completed work. This one is an ongoing work because remember, you leak. Remember, your co-workers will bump up against you. So this one is a matter of control. And by the way, it's not self-in-control, because isn't that what it said? What did it say? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, Temperance and self-control, long-suffering, self-control. Understand, it's not self-control as in self-in-control. It's self-under control, under the control of that Spirit of God. And you know, I know folks personally, and so do you, I know folks who live their lives just like this. They are Spirit-filled people. They know how to listen to the Lord. They know how to obey Him. And some of those folks have never said a word in tongues. Come on. Come on. You know it's true. Folks who love Jesus so much, and they walk in such fellowship and communion with Him that their lives are literally controlled. They have no trouble listening to Jesus and doing exactly as He leads them. And they've never said a word in tongues. Is that true or not? You know it's true. You know it's true. And so you can have folk who live an overcoming, victorious, Spirit-controlled, Spirit-filled life who never speak in tongues. Now, if our superintendent was here, he might call me on the carpet for this, but you know it's true. We're going to get to that tongues part next week. Don't worry about that. We'll get to that. And we'll talk about why that's an important manifestation. But it's possible for the Holy Spirit, not only possible, it is actually real, that the Holy Spirit do a work in you that is outside of the gifts of the Spirit. See, if I have to choose, thankfully we don't have to choose, but if I had to choose between a congregation of people who were manifesting the fruit of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, and I had to choose, I'll take the fruit every day. Every day. Because if you're operating in love, I don't have to question your motives. If you're filled with joy, we don't have to stand here and pump you up like a cheerleader. Come on. This is just real. So if I had to choose, thankfully we don't have to choose. The Holy Spirit's working in us and it can be both. It doesn't have to be either or. But if I had to choose, I'll take the fruit every day of the week. I'd rather have somebody who is self-controlled, who never speaks in tongues, than someone who speaks in tongues and gossips. You know that's true. And so there's a saving work that God does in us, and there's a leading, there's an overflowing, infilling. And this is an ongoing, constant thing. And so it's not like, well, Lord, I got saved a long time ago and that's it. No, 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 no. Listen, I leak. And so do you. And life situations come up against me and they take every bit of the Spirit of God I got in me to get me through it. And I need self-control. And I need joy. And I need peace. And I need patience and gentleness. And that's what this is all about. But understand this, there is yet another way in which the Spirit of God can work in us. It's not just a saving work and it's not just a leading work. These are awesome. And we're all going to heaven right here. There ain't no doubt. We're not questioning anybody's going to heaven. Nothing. But there's yet another manifestation. There's yet another level of working of the Spirit in us that is separate and distinct from this. What are you talking about? Listen. There was a time when Jesus gathered His disciples. He was still alive. He had not died yet. He had not been raised yet. There had been no day of Pentecost yet. There had been no speaking in tongues yet. And Jesus gathered His disciples unto Himself, and He was about to send them out on preaching ministry. And He said to them, "Be ye filled with the Spirit." Pentecost had not happened yet. So He could not have been talking about speaking in tongues. He was talking about a life overflowing with the Spirit at work in me to produce love, joy, gentleness, patience, kindness. That's what He was talking about. But then He also said to those same disciples just before, after He died, after He rose from the dead, and just before He went to heaven, He said, "Now look, there's yet another level. There's yet another working of My Spirit that I want to accomplish in you. So go to Jerusalem and wait there and pray until you be endued with power from on high. And so we can't be talking about salvation. They were already followers of Christ. We can't be talking about infilling because they were already filled with the Spirit and working and manifesting God's goodness in the earth. It can't be those two. And so it has to be a separate, distinctive working of God's Spirit in us. And so that's where we look at this next one, the empowering. This one is the equipping work of the Spirit. Equipping. It's taking that saved person, that believer, who learned and is learning to walk daily in the things of God, and equipping them to impact the world and equipping you to live successfully for Christ. And so this is a separate event. This is different, and this is where I was talking about. Sometimes these things get all in. Sometimes as soon as a person receives Jesus, they may be baptized in the Spirit. And by the way, I want to draw a little bit of distinction here. I'm not fussing at anyone. But maybe I'm a little bit ADHD or a little bit whatever, or not ADHD, but OCD. Maybe I'm a little OCD on this. I don't like to confuse terminology. So if anyone ever asks me, are you Spirit-filled? My mind goes to that second one. That second aspect. It doesn't go to that last one. So then I want to ask them, are you referring to a baptism in the Holy Spirit? Well, yeah, Spirit-filled. Well, that's not what, they're different. See, that's a different working of the Spirit of God in us. So, okay, an empowering and an equipping work of the Spirit. So we have an indwelling, we have an infilling, and we have an empowering. And again, some of these things can take place all at once. But you know the cool thing about this? We call it a baptism. What do we learn about baptism? Remember Jesus said that. He said, John will baptize you in water. But there's someone, John would say, there's someone coming after me. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoe. There's someone coming after me. I'll baptize you in water. But there's someone coming after me who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. An empowerment, separate and distinct. And baptism for John was immersion. And so all of a sudden, you don't just have this. This is awesome, by the way. But you got this. Do you have to worry about the Spirit of God not being in that cup anymore? He's just as, you know what? He's just as full right here as he is right here. There's not 1 ounce of water more in there now than there was just a moment ago. But now, there's a Spirit of God inside. And by the way, unless you got really, really good vision, you probably can't see where the water ends and the cup begins. I chose a clear glass on purpose. See, so now you've got the Spirit of God not only on the inside, but here on the outside and on top. That's cold water. And underneath, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Again, the illustration falls short in so many ways because Jesus can't be contained in an aquarium. And there's so many things that don't meet every single expectation, but man, as far as I'm concerned, I understand that I received Jesus and he accomplished the work in me by working of his Spirit, and I need him every day in order to stay full of his Spirit. And yet there's an empowering that he intends for me. So really what we got is this. Get it? Again, try not to think of them as three separate, distinct. Well, step one, step two, step three. It's not that at all. It's actually, Holy Spirit, I want everything you have from me. But I don't know about that. That's why we nailed it down in the very beginning. He's good. and He loves you. And He has nothing but good purposes and good plans for you. And if you ask Him for bread, He's not going to give you a stone. And if you ask Him for fish, He's not going to give you a snake. And if you ask Him for every, Lord, I just want you to just be all in all. We sang that. Lord, You are my all in all. Well, it might just mean that. Huh? Let's stand. Oh, Lord, Doc, could you? Lord, we're humbled. Lord, we're humbled that You would love us. Lord, who am I that You would even care? What is man that You're even mindful of him? But Lord, by Your grace, by Your goodness, You have a plan for my life. You started working Your plan in my life when You called me to Yourself and I invited You to do a work in me by Your Spirit, Lord. When I surrendered my own efforts and my own intentions and I stopped trying to get Your attention through my own efforts, Lord, and I understood that it's only in the righteousness of Christ that I can be a child of God. You started working Your plan and Your purpose in my life right then. And Lord, I thank You that by Your Spirit, as I trust in You daily, as I call out to You daily, as I depend on You daily, Lord, You never, ever, ever disappoint me, but You continue to just pour into me. Because Lord, sometimes I need more than just enough of Your Spirit for me. I might need some of Your Spirit to flow out of me and touch someone else who's hurting. And so Lord, I thank You that You are working in my life to give me joy and peace, patience, and gentleness, and kindness. See, every one of those, Lord, every one of those points to the fact that someone else will encounter us and need us to respond with joy and need us to respond with gentleness. And so, Lord, I thank You that Your Spirit's working in me isn't just so that I can be saved, but it's so that I can impact those around me and live a life controlled of Your Spirit. But Lord, even that sometimes doesn't seem quite enough. Sometimes I think certainly there must be something more. Because an infinite God can't be confined to a limited work. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm just opening my heart to You. I don't know exactly what this may look like. I just don't know all of that. But what I know is, Lord, I love You. What I know is that I want my life to be fully reflective of everything You have for me. And I trust You enough. I trust You enough that when I ask for something good, You're not going to give me something harmful. And so today, Lord, my heart's cry is not only that You would save me, but that You would fill me and lead me daily, and that You would empower me to live successfully for You in a hostile world, and empower me to become an effective witness for You. In Your name I pray. See, listen, here's the deal. I am fully convinced. Let me back up. In a lot of situations, you'll have a preacher or a teacher or some spiritual leader who might stand and browbeat the people of God because they don't witness enough. I can't get anybody to come out and knock on doors with me. I can't. And you might, some people might just browbeat you for not being effective enough in your witness. I am fully convinced of this fact. There's not one of us that is intentionally refusing to tell other people about Christ. None of us are digging our heels in and saying, nope, I'm never going to tell anyone about Jesus. The issue is not willingness. The issue is empowerment. Lord, I want to take advantage of those opportunities when people come into my life, but I'm scared. I don't feel prepared. I'm not sure what I would say. I don't know that I'm bold enough. You guys have heard this story before. Before I was baptized in the Spirit, I'm not kidding, before I was baptized in the Spirit, to say that I was shy is an understatement. I remember as a 17-year-old young man, I was asked to speak in front of our church in a youth service. Probably 100 people there. I was so nervous and so up. I thought I would throw up. Scared to death. I said everything I knew to say in 10 minutes. And was glad when it was over. But I understood that God's calling on my life was so much more important than that. And I needed Him to empower me for effective service and effective living for Him. I was baptized in the Spirit. And I will tell you, quite a few things happened in my life then, but the first and foremost thing that happened immediately, any fear and any intimidation that I had in front of crowds and the ability to share the gospel, every bit of it instantaneously was burned away in the fire of God's baptism. And so I appeal to you today. I know your heart is not to intentionally reject the work of God and intentionally refuse to be effective and intentionally refuse to share the gospel. But I'm telling you, you need to be empowered. You'll be amazed. So here we are. Here's the invitation. Some people might need an indwelling. Some folks that are here today, you might not even be saved. The Spirit of God hasn't even started His work in you yet. I want to let you know, God has a plan for you that is amazing. It is beyond the plan that you could ever come up with for yourself. You might just want God to save you today. Or maybe there's some folks that you've been saved and you know you're saved. You know you're a child of God, but somehow you just seem to be spinning your wheels and you just seem to always be constantly running dry and running low and you're up and you're down and you're and there just doesn't seem to be any joy and there doesn't seem to be any peace and no self-control. My God. Let God's Spirit flow into you that He might flow out of you. Lord, just fill me. Fill me with Your Spirit. And then there's some others that would say, you know, I just sense that there's more. I don't know exactly what it looks like. I don't know exactly what it might mean to me. But I'm more in love with Jesus than I am scared of the unknown. So there may be some that just want to say, Holy Spirit, I just want more of You. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like, I just want more. So I'm just going to invite, I'm fully aware of the time, but look, this is the most important thing you'll do all day, I guarantee you. You'll not do anything more important than this. Let's bow our heads one more time. As He's playing, I just want to issue this invitation. Look, we won't drag it out. But I want to issue this invitation. You're here today and you don't know Jesus. You'd like to begin to experience God's plan for your life by saying, Holy Spirit, take up residence in me. Bring to me the life of Christ. You want to give your life to Jesus. I'm going to invite you with nobody. We're not going to embarrass you, I assure you. I just want to invite you just to come and meet me here at the front. I'd like a chance to pray with you. We have some prayer warriors that would like to pray with you. And maybe you're here and you know you're a Christian, but you just don't seem to be living that overcoming, victorious life where you're daily led and guided by the Spirit. And you don't have that fruit that's being manifest, that joy and peace and love. But you'd like to have that kind of fullness in your life. Again, we're not talking about step 1, 2, and 3. We just want God to work in us in awesome ways. Or maybe you just know that there's more. You just know that there's more. And you want that Spirit baptism and whatever that looks like and however that manifests itself, I'll leave that to a God who loves me and who only has my good in mind. If you're here today and you'd like to respond in any one of those ways, I'm going to invite you to step out. We're not looking around to embarrass anybody, but if you're here today, you just want to step out and say, yeah, I just want more of God. It could be in any one of these three areas, or I may not even be able to nail it down. I just know I love Jesus and I want more of Him in my life. Anybody just want to say, I trust a good Father. I just trust a good Father to do a good work in me. Feel free to come forward. We'd like the chance to pray with you. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Miss Tara, can you come help me pray here? Anyone else? Isn't that awesome? Lord, we don't know. We can't begin to understand and identify all the... It just gets so complicated because you're an infinite God and we can never figure out, but we just know that we love you and we want you to work in a full and awesome way in our lives. Lord, we got some folks right here right now that are just saying, I just want more of Jesus. By working of your Spirit, I just want more of Jesus. I'm going to invite those of you that are at your seat. If you'd like to be seated, feel free. If you need to go, I understand that. But if you're going to stay at your seat, I'd invite you just to kind of stretch a hand this way as a symbol of unity and identification with these that are praying and asking for God to do a work in their lives. Lord, Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, if we can have some folks just to kind of spread out here and help us pray. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have good efforts and good intentions and good desires for our life. We thank you, Lord, that you never want to harm us. You always want to help us. You have a plan that is amazing and super, and it's always for our good. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, accomplish the work of the Spirit here today. Accomplish the work of your Spirit here today. Spirit of God, Spirit of God. Lord, work among us today. Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. As these continue to pray, I just want to pronounce a blessing over you today. Is that all right? All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless these, your people. I pray, God, that in the days ahead, in this next week coming up, that they will walk in abundance. That they will have all the financial provision they need. That they will be filled with your wisdom. That they will be filled with patience. For certainly, Lord, some here will encounter a situation that requires patience. And so, Lord, today we bless these, your people, with patience and gentleness and the ability to navigate difficult circumstances with the divine wisdom of God. Lord, fill them full of your Spirit. And let it not only impact their lives, but, Lord, let them become a blessing to others that they encounter. Some folks may not even know why, but Lord, let those who encounter these, your people, find themselves walking in blessing and abundance. Just as you blessed the house of Obed-Edom by the Spirit of God, Lord, bless every one of these homes by the abiding presence of your Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Feel free to stay and pray as long as you'd like and worship. or feel free to be dismissed. God bless you today. Amen.